This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I wanted to take a few moments of your time as we study from God's Word to explain to you who we are as New Testament Christians in the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ. You may wonder who we are. Who is this group, this religious group of Christians who bring this program to you each Sunday morning? You may want to know more about us. You may want to investigate that a little bit more. And so I want to use our time this morning in God's Word to look at the Word of God and also explain that we are trying to be New Testament Christians. In Acts chapter 11 and verse 26, the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. That's all we are claiming to be, undenominational Christians in the 21st century. We are trying to be New Testament Christians, first century Christians in the 21st century. We believe that some 2,000 years after the establishment of the Lord's Church, we can still be that same group of people today. It's challenging, but it can be done. So I'm glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. Who are we as New Testament Christians today here in Clarksville, Tennessee? We meet at 290 Warfield Boulevard. What do we do? What are we about? What do we believe in? What do we practice? What do we try to put in place in our lives? And what do we try to help other people with? So I want to answer the question this morning, who are we? There are several things that I'd like to talk about, so we'll get right into it this morning. First of all, we offer no creed but Christ. We do not follow any man-made creed books. The word creed means I believe. It's a series of doctrines that are set forth by man in various books. We simply follow the doctrine of Christ. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come and guide the apostles into all the truth, John 16, 13 through 15. And the apostles, Paul, for example, said in 1 Corinthians 2:16 that he had the mind of Christ. He spoke the words of Christ. What he spoke and wrote were the commandments of Christ, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. We believe in the law of Christ, Galatians 6 and verse 2, that is Matthew through Revelation. And so this is our only book. We do not want to go beyond the doctrine of Christ, 2 John 9. So we don't follow any man-made creeds, just simply the New Testament. And if there are things in the New Testament, and there are many, that are for all Christians of all times, then we certainly do those things today. Anything in the New Testament, obviously from the context that was for certain people just at that time, we don't do those things, of course. But if the context shows that it's for all people of all time, we certainly want to engage in that. In a similar way, we have no book but the Bible. Excuse me. We simply turn to the New Testament. We don't have any man-made books, catechisms, manuals, confessions, decrees, books of faith. A creed is often written hundreds of years ago, and then based upon creeds, then people will write modern-day catechisms and manuals and confessions and so forth. And we don't have any of that. We follow the New Testament. You might recall in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, when the church began on the day of Pentecost, they continued in the apostles' doctrine or teaching. And that's all we want to do even today. We don't believe in following any other gospel. Paul said in Galatians 1, 6 through 9, he wrote that if we follow any other gospel, we are to be accursed. The New Testament church was built upon the words of Christ and the apostles, Jesus being the chief cornerstone, Ephesians 2 and verse 20. The New Testament, James 1:25 and James 2:12, is the perfect law of liberty, and that is the book that we follow. Scripture is inspired of God, and it makes us complete in everything that we need. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. So if you wonder what our standard of authority is, it is the New Testament law and gospel of Jesus Christ. Of course, we read from the Old Testament. There are a number of good lessons. The things written aforetime, Paul says, Romans 15, verse 4, were written for our learning and admonition. We can certainly learn from the Old Testament. We teach from it. We have classes from it. I present sermons from the Old Testament. But that covenant has passed away. It was nailed to the cross, Ephesians 2 and Colossians 2. It is not a covenant that we are under. The covenant or law that we are under today is the law of Christ. And so that is our standard of authority that we go by. And we encourage others to do the same. We offer no church but Christ's church. In the New Testament, the word church, ecclesia, means a called out body of believers. It always refers to people. It's not a building, but people. And so we don't want to be a people, anything other than a people that belongs to Christ. We're not a part of any man-made church or denomination. We're not Catholic. We're not Protestant. We're not Jewish. We're not Muslim. We're not Buddhist. There are a number of large denominational names that are used and identifications and divisions. We're not a part of any of that. We simply want to be a church that belongs to Christ. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 16, Paul says, "The churches of Christ salute you or greet you." We simply want to be a local church, called out group of Christians who belong to Jesus Christ. No more, no less, nothing else. We want to be a part of the Lord's church only. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, "Upon this rock I will build my church." And on the day of Pentecost, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, and ascension into heaven, on the day of Pentecost, that church began when the gospel was first preached by Peter and others in Acts chapter 2. And when some 3,000 were baptized into Christ, the Lord added to the body of saved, Acts 2:47. The King James says that they were added to the church, a body of saved people. And Jesus died for his church. He shed his blood to purchase the church, Acts chapter 20 and verse 28. The church is built upon him as the foundation, 1 Corinthians 3:11. And in Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, he is the head of the body, which is the church. And there is one body, along with other things that are just simply one in nature. Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. He's the Savior of the body, Ephesians 5, 23. And that's that body of people we want to be a part of. There has always been a church from the beginning of Pentecost till the present day. It's a kingdom that cannot be shaken, Hebrews chapter 12. It's an eternal kingdom, Daniel chapter 2. It will never go away. And when Jesus comes again, he will deliver up that church and that kingdom to his Father. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul writes about that there. And we want to be a part of that. We don't want to be a part of any man-made denomination or church. Just simply the one that belongs to Jesus Christ. And we call upon you, friends, to do the same. And just as Paul, as Saul of Tarsus, left that Jewish Judaism or background that he had been raised in and became just simply a Christian, you can be religious and have a background in this or that denomination, but you can be willing, if you want, to leave that and just simply be a New Testament Christian. The other thing we offer is no worship, but true worship in spirit and in truth. We do not engage in any kind of man-made worship that is vain. Jesus calls some worship vain, Matthew 15:9. It's not based upon the Word of God, but just tradition. Paul talks about ignorant worship in Acts chapter 17 and verse 23 when he was in Athens. Paul wrote about will worship or self-willed worship, Colossians 2:23. We don't want to engage in any of those kinds of worship, but we want to engage in that which is authorized by the Word of God. In John 4 and 24, God is seeking those to worship Him in spirit and in truth, and that's what we want to do. We want to do all in the name of the Lord, that is by His authority, Colossians 3:17. And really, what you find when it comes to New Testament worship and the worship that we're trying to provide even today, it's very simple compared to what you see in various religious groups today. You turn on a worship service on the radio or on TV or on the internet, you'll see that it's a highly organized production, stage production, almost like a movie or a show that you're going to. And you'll find things going on that are not found in the New Testament. And so actually, when you engage in just simple New Testament worship, there is not a lot going on with regard to a production. In the New Testament, Christians just simply sang. There were no instruments of music. There was no band. There was no praise team that was singing or choir or solo. Just all Christians were singing together without any kinds of instruments. They had them, but they didn't do that. Ephesians 5:19. They prayed together, Acts 2:42. They studied the Word of God together, Acts 2:42. They took the Lord's Supper on the first day of the week, which is Sunday, Acts 20 and 7, 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 33. And on the first day of the week, they also laid by a free will offering, 1 Corinthians 16:1 and 2. And 2 Corinthians 9:7. This was not a tithing. That was in the Old Testament. It was a free will offering of whatever amount they had as they prospered and as they set that aside and chose that in their heart. And God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians 9:6 and 7. And what they had purposed in their heart and as they had prospered, that's what they gave. There was no set amount such as tithing that we find in the Old Testament. So singing, praying, Bible study, the Lord's Supper, and the collection on the first day of the week, these are simple things that Christians did, and that's what we do today. And all can be engaged in the worship. It's not just for certain ones. There's no certain group of people wearing robes and they're set apart in the way they dress. That wasn't found in the New Testament. But all people worshiping together in the same way. And so that's what you'll find if you were to visit with us. That would just be simple New Testament, true worship, worship in spirit and in truth, John 4:24. We also offer an organization that is strictly local in nature. We do not have any ties to any man-made earthly organizations that are spread out across the country or even around the world. There's no conventions that we are a part of, no conferences, no synods, no councils, no diocese, etc. In the New Testament, each local group of Christians was overseen by men called elders. There were deacons who served. There were evangelists who preached the Word of God. There were saints who made up the local church. And there were elders, Philippians 1, 1 and 2. And those elders would oversee just that local group of Christians, 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. Peter writes to the elders to oversee the flock of God among you. So there's no inner congregational or intra-denominational tying together in any kind of way. Jesus is the head of His body, Ephesians 1:21 through 23. The elders simply carry out the words of Jesus, and they watch over and tend the flock of God among them. Acts 20 and 28, 1 Peter 5, 1 and 2. And so there's no tying together of the Warfield Boulevard Church of Christ with other churches of Christ even, or other religious groups. I've had discussions before with people, and this has come up a lot, especially with regard to the subject of homosexuals being ordained in some church denominations to the priesthood and so forth. And I have had discussions with members of those various denominations, and they will say that I personally don't believe that that's what the Bible teaches, but we have to go along with the decisions that were made at this year's convention, or our denomination had a conference this year, or a synod, or a council, or a convention, and it was voted on that such and such would be added to our beliefs or taken away from our beliefs, and I just have to kind of go along with what those leaders vote on. Well, that's what you get into when you have these organizations that are larger than the local church and not authorized by the New Testament. You get into having to go along with what a select group of people vote on, and representatives from various bodies in that denomination. Local entities will send representatives, and then there is a hierarchy that votes on all of that. And you're basically at the mercy and at the whim of men and women voting on things, and you're getting away from what the Word of God teaches. So we are a part of a local church only, and that's the way it was intended in the New Testament. And you can see the wisdom of that even in other areas of our life. Bigger is not always better. We see that in government. We see that in other kinds of business, that bigger is not always better. It causes problems. And so that is the organization, the simple local organization that is found in the New Testament. We also have no mission in Clarksville but soul winning, winning souls to Jesus, lost souls in sin, winning them to Jesus so that they can be saved through His blood, through God's grace, and through Jesus' blood and through obedience to the gospel. Souls can be saved. We don't engage in any kind of works that are related to other kinds of things. Individually, as Christians, we shine our light in this community, and we might be a part of some group that is advancing something that is good, and that's fine. But as a local church, working together with the church treasury, with the leadership, we find that the work of that church in the New Testament was limited to evangelizing the lost. The church at Antioch, for example, did that, Acts 13, 1 through 3. Edifying those that are already saved, Acts 11, 22, 26. And helping from time to time any needy Christians or saints that need help, Acts 11, 27 through 30. There was no other work that was done by the local church as a church. And by that I mean with its treasury and with its decisions that are made by the leadership. There was no political works done, no recreational works, no entertainment, no social work, no secular education, teaching schools and this and that. That was not the mission of the local church. Now, I know that many religious denominations, including some churches of Christ, do those kinds of things. I'm aware of that. And many people would say, well, look at the good work that they're doing. But remember, Ephesians 2:10, a good work has to be prepared by God, and He has to tell us what that work is in Scripture. It's not just something that we come up with and put the name good work on it. So these other things, politics, recreation, entertainment, social work, secular education, There may be a place, provided it's wholesome and clean, there may be a place for that in the individual life of Christians. And I know of many Christians who engage in these kinds of things, and especially with the young people, to help them have fun and things like that. But with regard to the work of the local church as a church, it was limited to evangelizing the lost, edifying those who are already saved, and helping needy saints. And so that's what we limit our mission to. When you get off focus, when you get off mission, when you get off goal, then you start going down and doing other things, and you don't accomplish what Jesus wants you to accomplish. And so we try to stay on mission here in Clarksville, and we call upon others to come and help us with that soul-winning mission. We offer no plan but the gospel. We do not preach a man-made plan of salvation, such as faith only or voting someone into the church. We preach the gospel plan of salvation that is the power of God to save, Romans 1:16. That includes hearing the gospel, Acts 15, verse 7, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, John 8:24, repenting of our sins, Acts 17:30 and 31, confessing that Jesus is the Christ and that God has raised him from the dead, Romans 10, 9 and 10, being baptized for the remission of our sins, Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Acts 22:16, and living faithfully, being raised to walk in newness of life in that faithful, godly, active Christian life, Romans 6 and verse 4. That's the plan of salvation in a nutshell, and that's all that we preach and teach and provide for those around us. We don't want to tell people to do something to be saved that people in the first century were never told to do. And so we just simply want to tell them what Jesus wants them to be told, and we limit it to that. We offer no unity but Bible unity. We don't promote any kind of man-made unity that says, let's all agree to disagree, or let's agree on Christ but not on the church, that type of thing. Let's go along and get along, even though we know that we are divided. But we promote only the unity that Jesus prayed for, and that is unity through his word. Jesus prayed that his disciples would be one, John 17, 20 and 21, but based upon the words of his apostles. And so it's a unity based upon New Testament scripture. We offer no speech but Bible speech. And what I mean by that is we avoid man-made religious language that is not found in the Bible. No preacher, for example, was ever called reverend. The word reverend is found one time in the King James, but it's in the book of Psalms, and it has to do with God's name being holy and reverend. But no man or woman was ever called a reverend. The preacher was not called the pastor. In Ephesians chapter 4, the pastor is the elder. We don't call anyone father. Jesus said not to do that in Matthew chapter 23. We don't say join the church of your choice. We don't say pray through and get religion. We don't talk about a second work of grace. We don't preach faith only. We don't preach once you're saved, you're always saved. These words and expressions come from man, but they don't come from Scripture. And so we speak only where the Bible speaks. When we speak, we try to speak as of the oracles of God, the very words of God. 1 Peter 4, verse 11. We turn to the law, to God's word. We turn to the Bible for our authority and for our teaching and for our language. Anything else is simply vain. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. We offer no life but Christ. We do not live in a way that follows the pattern of the world. We preach and teach and encourage holy and godly living in a wicked world. We don't want to engage in vulgar language and profanity. We don't want to engage in drinking and smoking and gambling and homosexuality and transgender. These things are not according to the Word of God. And I realize that there are many, many people, especially today with regard to transgender and homosexuality, that people who appear to be nice and kind and good and loving, these are simply things that they want in their life. So what's the problem? The problem is God's Word is against these things. And so it doesn't matter how nice the person is. We don't go by what we want. We don't go by what we feel, what we would like to have, what we have a right to have. We need to go by what the Word of God teaches. And so with regard to our personal lives, it has to match up with the teaching of the Word of God, including in our marriages and raising our children and personal living. So we live only as Christ would have us to live, and the pattern of our life is in the New Testament teaching. Paul said, "It is not I that live, but Christ who lives in me." Galatians 2:20. The words of Christ govern how we are to live. And then last of all, we offer no hope but heaven. And we need to keep our eyes focused on that. I preached on that just last week, that with all the things going on in 2020, all the difficult and challenging things and problems that we've had to go through with the virus and other kinds of things, we've got to keep our eyes focused on heaven and Jesus coming again. We do not preach a hope that is based upon the wishes of men and women. The Scripture doesn't talk about a so-called rapture. It's not, heaven is not going to be some earthly paradise. There's no such thing as reincarnation, nirvana, living in heaven with living in paradise with 70 virgins. One denomination, the Mormons, you'll be able to rule your own planet one day. No, the Bible doesn't teach these things. And so we offer heaven as the only hope. We preach only that one hope of the gospel, heaven. Colossians 1 and verse 5. Friends, just in brief, that's who we are. And we want you to know and be upfront and honest and open about our life in Christ here in this community as we try to match up with the New Testament teaching. We are New Testament Christians only. They were called Christians in Antioch, not any other denominational name. Agrippa said, "Almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian." And that's the name, 1 Peter 4:16, that glorifies God. There are other local churches of Christ seeking to serve Jesus in the same way. And I want you to know who we are and what we do and make that change if necessary. Will you come, friends, and be a New Testament Christian with us? That's our invitation for you today. And if we can get together and study that and talk about that, let's certainly do that. Thank you for joining us, and I hope that you'll have a good day.